everybody across the land. Here's a special from Sequel Cast, though I don't know what it's gonna be about. Maybe Woody Allen, maybe Spike Lee, maybe Technicolor, maybe 3D, or maybe you just gotta wait and see. You're gonna find out.
Hello and welcome to the Sequel Cast Special. The Sequel Cast Special is a podcast that looks at movie topics at large. And for the very first time, this is the first Sequel Cast Special that's listener choice. That's right, we had listeners vote on Facebook.com/SequelCast. I'm Matt.
I'm Thrasher, and this is all on the listeners' heads.
Our theme song you just heard was written and performed by Mark with a C. Check out his music at markwithac.com. And you can support the Sequel Cast by donating via PayPal at sequelcast.com/donate. Your donations are greatly appreciated. Podcasting is not free. So, I mean, the listeners voted on some very interesting things. Do you want to hear what the runners-up were?
Yes, I do.
I deleted those polls, but I remember in my head. So tied initially was an Eddie Murphy career retrospective and people coming up with their own ideas. So we had a runoff between the Eddie Murphy career retrospective, a broad look at the Pink Panther films, and Sequel Cast host origin. And the one that won surprised me greatly. It was Sequel Cast host origin. So this is what we're talking about. Sadly, we were not able to get Jersey Jason or BJ on for this episode, but we'll have them on for like a part two of the Sequel Cast special. But I still think there's a lot we can talk about, Will, about our origins as a host of the Sequel Cast podcast. It, when I say host origins, what do you what comes to mind? Is it how we met in person? Is
well, I guess how like we you know, film? How we met, what gives us the gumption to do the show, why we're interested in film, that sort of thing.
Very good. So instead of, you know, celebrating ourselves in the back as in other Sequel Cast special episodes on year one, year two, etc., it will be talking more at a micro, more individual with our experience. So I, when I graduated high school in 2000, when did you graduate high school, Thrasher?
99.
And this would have been in Virginia?
Yes, it would. Norfolk, Virginia.
I graduated from high school in 2000 in Marietta, Georgia. I went to George Walton High School.
Huh.
What was your high school's name?
Okay, I'm just going to get this out of the way. My high school experience was miserable, and it didn't help that it was a terrible high school with terrible administration that just destroyed what little school spirit any of us entered the school with, but it was Norfolk Collegiate.
Public high school?
No, it was private.
Oh, okay. Do you have to wear uniforms or?
No. It was a thoroughly sexist dress code.
They made the men wear dresses. Is that what you're saying?
No, that would have been like one of my, that would be like one of the erotic novellas that I've been known to write. It was like, basically if you were a guy, button down shirt and tie, that's it. And if you were a woman, anything you wanted.
Do they have like a sports team, sports on campus?
The biggest thing was basketball. It was a pretty decent basketball team. There was some soccer or football, if you know the correct name for it. I was in band, and one of the best parts of the year in band was when we did pep band and we would play at the basketball games, and it was really, really fun. Here's the thing about the band. This school had a music requirement. You had to take some sort of music-related thing to graduate or to advance in grade or whatnot. And so for most students, that was the general music appreciation class. But if you were in choir, strings, men's choir, women's choir, men's strings, women's strings, string choir ensemble, men's string choir ensemble, or women's string choir ensemble, or jazz vocals, that counted towards the requirement. You know what didn't count towards the requirement? Being in the school band.
So what was the difference then? Well, you had to be like in like an upper level echelon of your instrument?
No. Being in the school band did not count towards your music requirement.
Were you in the school band?
Yes, I was in the school band for 5 years.
Oh, okay. I was in the school band only for middle school, so grade 6 through 8. In grade 6, I played trombone. 7th and 8th grade, I did percussion. So what did you play?
Oh, I played and still do play the tenor saxophone.
Okay.
It was a great experience. I always kind of carried a grudge that it didn't count towards the music requirement, even though you were learning to play an instrument.
I guess before we get into us meeting at the Savannah College of Art and Design and cultivating.
Oh, now I remember you.
Yeah, there you are. Yeah. And becoming friends and doing college radio stuff together, leading eventually to the sequel cast. When did you first become aware of film criticism?
Well, I guess I'd always liked movies and all kinds of movies for as long as I can remember. But I didn't. I loved weird movies and I loved hard to find movies. I loved cult movies. I loved movies with pretensions of being art. But I guess what really got me thinking about it seriously is this was actually back in high school. I had an English teacher and eventually a humanities teacher. I got into the humanities elective by the name of Sale, who. He was like sort of the first adult I ever met that really thought that film that treated film like an art form worthy of respect and really put a lot of value into analyzing and understanding film and so I mean a lot about reading a film I got from him.
For me,
and he was also just one of those awesome stodgy old academics. He gave himself 5 heart attacks in class.
Literally?
Well, I don't know. Well, okay, 3 of his heart attacks during school hours, I know for a fact actually happened. Because they happened while I was attending the school. The other 2, I don't know for sure.
For me, you know, I was in middle school and I was into really video games a lot, specifically the Nintendo and Super Nintendo. I wasn't a Sega kid, I was a Nintendo kid. And then we got a family multimedia computer with a CD-ROM that was a Packard Bell 486. And when we got the computer, my dad let my sister and I pick out a few games or software for ourselves. And I picked out one, I think because I liked the cartoon The Critic with John Lovitz. There was a program called Cinemania 95, which was like ebooks on CD-ROM, where it was the Roger Ebert's film guide for the year and a Pauline Kael book, and it was a database of movie reviews from the different, and you could look and see, oh, this is a Leonard Maltin reviewed this one, and Pauline Kael said this about this, and Ebert said this about this film, and this is the entry from the film encyclopedia, whatchamacallit, and it had video clips and sound clips from some of the films, and I just really opened up a whole new world for me around that, and around the same time I got an internet connection, and got to read websites like Ain't It Cool News and Dark Horizons, reading movie gossip and interviews and all that stuff. So that's what sort of exposed film criticism to me. Although I didn't get to see the Roger Ebert, the Siskel and Ebert TV show until a few years later in high school, because in Georgia they broadcast it. It was in syndication nationwide in the United States. And in Georgia they broadcast it at like 2 in the morning.
We had the same thing. I think for several years in my area, it came on at like 6 a.m. on Sundays.
Right. So with all that, with my college, I switched colleges and switched majors a lot, but I still got a degree after 5 years, which is, I guess, the average amount it takes now. I'm not really sure. But I started going in Georgia. I went initially to Kennesaw State University. And it used to be a community college, and I thought initially, I would go there for 2 years was the plan to do math and English and all that stuff, and then transfer to another school afterwards. But the problem was the more reading I did, I found out, and I was pretty naive, that you can't transfer from college to college and have all your courses transfer, even if it's something as simple as English 101.
That was actually another sticking point with my high school. I got into the AP English class specifically because I was told it was going to count towards college credit.
Oh, me too.
Of course
okay.
It didn't, and I was stuck in composition for a quarter.
You never got to take the AP test?
They did not offer that when I enrolled.
Oh, I had an AP English test, and I got, I think, a 4 out of 5 on it. And at the school I went to at the time, it counted for just one English class, but some colleges would count it for English 101 and 102. That's weird. So did they have you just write a bunch of essays?
What, in the AP English class?
Yes.
There was a decent amount of that, yes. Mm-hmm. Lots of poetry readings as well.
Oh, sure.
Lots of interpretation of Bob Dylan and Janis Joplin songs as well.
That's unusual.
We had a pretty hip teacher for that.
Did you always go to private schools, or was it just for high school?
Oh, no, it was a high school.
Why?
That's just, well, it came, I honestly don't know. All I remember is that when I left my middle school, it kind of boiled down to a choice between two schools, and I picked this one because it was closer.
What else? So, when I realized when he transferred colleges, he didn't get to keep credits and all this stuff, I knew at the time I wanted to do film, and in Georgia, there was a scholarship called Hope Scholarship, and this would have been early 2000s and late 90s and stuff, where if you had a 3.0 average in high school and you could maintain the 3.0 average in college, all your tuition would be paid for a state public university, but not the cost of textbooks, not the cost of
room and board,
right. So, given I was looking to see what options around me were public schools, and at the time I went to Georgia State University for a year and a half, and I was miserable. Again, I was naive. The internet wasn't as detailed then as it was now. These are all very poor excuses. But I thought, oh, it's a film program. Surely that means you get to make movies and write screenplays. Well, no. The film program at the time at Georgia State University was film theory, which means you just get to write a bunch of essays about film history and shot composition, which I thought, well, this is a waste of time. Why would you take these classes unless you just want to become a film professor? It's a snake eating its own tail. And after a year and a half, I was just really depressed going to Georgia State. My grandma suggested North Carolina School of the Arts, and I went to the campus and got accepted for an interview and got really way too nervous and did poorly at the interview, but I was very impressed with all the professors had actual real motion picture film experience, Hollywood experience, and I was just crushed when I wasn't accepted, and I was given sort of a Sophie's choice. I said, well, I could stay on their alternate list and switch over if something went through, or and go to Georgia State in the meantime, or I looked at Savannah College Art and Design, was less impressed by their program, but their film program at least let you mess around with cameras, and it was closer to home.
And at this point, I have to ask, have you actually seen Sophie's Choice? Because that doesn't sound like much of a Sophie's Choice.
Well, in that what? It was between like one art school or another?
But you do know what Sophie's Choice was, though, right?
I haven't seen the film, but it's about she has to pick between which one of her children lives or dies.
Yes.
Okay. I'm using it as a metaphor, not in the literal sense, but metaphorically I had...
This is the kind of asshole I was in that humanities class.
Okay. So given that choice, I was had my roster of classes all lined up for Georgia State, and I was just like, you know, I can't stand it at this university anymore. So I just went with Savannah College Art and Design, initially went to study film, and then I saw the quality of the film class and the professors, and I was just not very impressed. And hey, video game design was a new major starting up, so I switched to that. And did I tell you this, what happened to my first day of video game design courses?
I'm not sure if you did.
I'll stop monologuing in a moment because we met in a film, in an intro to video class, I believe. So my first few days, after the intro video game class, you take like intro to 3D graphics, right? But the problem was at Savannah College, at SCAD, our alma mater, unless you happen to take computer applications from a certain professor, you were not introduced to using 3D Studio Max, so 3D graphics software. And they had assumed you had taken that before going into video game graphics 101 class.
Actually, I had similar experiences, although it was the exact opposite with a number of the film classes I took. The professors I had, a lot of them seemed to work under the assumption that you hadn't taken any film class before, and so there was just a lot of redundant information in what eventually became busy work.
Well, a lot of people could take those intro to film class, you know, those entry level film classes as an elective. They weren't film students necessarily, but yeah, and I mean, so when I got into the real meat of the video game classes, and this was a new major, we're all new students going through it. Two different professors pulled me aside and said, "What are you doing in this major? You should not be in this major." And at that point, SCAD, among other things, is a very expensive college. I did not want to put my parents to give up more of their money. I did not want to take more student loans to change my major yet again. So I just, you know, kind of kept my head nose to the grindstone and finished out with that major. In retrospect, I wish I would have stuck with film or maybe done the sound design program. That's my college sob story. What about you, Thrasher? Did you go to SCAD right away after graduating high school?
No, I took a year off. The main reason I did is I kind of looked at my own family's history, and all the men in my family who went to college immediately after high school dropped out. And they eventually went back, but in some cases it took quite some time. And so I just figured, well, looking at my family's history, I don't want to fall into the same trap. So I will just do all my I'll just take a year off to do all my stupid dicking around, and I'll have all that out of my system. And then I'll go to college and I'll just be able to take care of it all in one go, which is what ended up happening.
So the year off, did you work? Did you travel? Did you...
I did. I mainly worked. There was not much traveling.
Okay. Did you do retail? What sort of work did you do?
No, actually, I had a job organizing medical records. There was a practice. The short of it, this varies from state to state, but in Virginia, you're required, if you're a doctor, you are required by law to hold on to medical records for, I want to say, like 7 to 12 years or so.
I'm very familiar with that with my day jobs I've had. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And, but then, you know, after that period has lapsed, assuming that there's been no legal call for the records or any special requests or the patient's not still in treatment with you, then you're free to destroy them. Of course, you have to destroy them specifically. So there was a practice in town that had been around long enough that it actually had records that might qualify. And so my job was to go through the records, find out what was old enough to be destroyed, figure out whether it was worth keeping, and then the stuff that was worth keeping to re-alphabetize and consolidate, and the stuff that was to be gotten rid of to get all that separated so that it could eventually be shuttled to the documents disposal company.
Hmm, okay. So when you picked SCAD, was your major consistent all the way through with the sequential art?
Yes it was. Like I knew that's what I wanted to study. I did go for a minor in film. Unfortunately, it was not completed, and I was kind of in a position where I could have completed the major, but it might have meant staying at the school for another year and a half, and it might have meant dealing with a particular professor that it is the one professor I've had that I think they had absolutely no business teaching a class.
Not to mention the added expense of just an extra semester, quarter or whatever at that SCAD. I mean, it's considerable.
Like looking back, if I was to do anything differently, I would have gone for a master's in sequential art.
After graduating, you just go right into master's.
If that's the only thing I think I would have done differently.
Why?
Well, it's a field of study that I absolutely loved. Also, just the state of the American comic book industry is fucked. I'm just going to say that right now. I would be more employable as an academic. I would have been more employable as an academic specializing in the history of sequential art than I am currently as somebody who just wants to make comics.
It is a fairly new field to have. I mean, much like my major at video games, to have as a college major, you know. Did you ever look at any other schools besides SCAD, or no, that was it?
I did. I did look at a handful, although I cannot remember what they were off
like
the top
RISD
of my head.
Or?
Pardon?
RISD?
I'm pretty sure that was on the list.
Yeah. Rhode Island, yeah. School of Design. So that being said, let's actually talk about stuff leading to Sequel Cast. How we met. My first semester, I believe, so I transferred, and, you know, had I stayed at Georgia State, I would have been a junior, but I think transferring to SCAD, losing credits, and because it's SCAD, regardless of the major, you had to take, like, art and art history stuff. I was basically kind of dialed back to a sophomore as far as credits go. Anyway, I took Intro to Video with Gökhan, was our professor.
Oh, Gökhan, yes, he was awesome.
The crazy Turkish man. And you were in the class as well, and we were waiting outside in the hallway before I think the first class started.
I believe so.
And you had a sketchbook.
Yes, I always carry either a sketchbook or a notebook with me pretty much anywhere I go.
Even still, even with smartphones and stuff?
Yep.
What size of a sketchbook?
I think I've got one right here. The one I am currently using, it is sized, or formatted, as the kids say. Let's see, it is a 9x12, 100 sheets.
It's a decent-sized sketchbook.
It's serving me well.
Lined, unlined?
Unlined.
Okay.
Although perforated pages, so if I need to scan anything, they're easy to get out of the book.
And you just have a pencil with it, or a pen, a Micron?
I always have a pencil. When possible, I'll have a set of pens with me.
That's one of the things I like the best about SCAD is the feel of using a Micron pen.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't bought one in years, but I've thought about it. Just everything flows really easy. All that.
There I was with my sketched book.
And let's recreate that scene. We might have done this as a bit on Sequel Cast before, but I think we can do it again. Does that sound...
Sure, sure.
So do your little, like, sketching sound effects.
Draw, draw, doodle, draw, character.
Hey, those drawings look pretty neat.
Well, thank you, stranger. I have aspirations to be a great artist one day.
Oh, so you're gay.
No, I like the pussy.
The gay
Notice
pussy, right?
The breasts of the women that I am rendering in graphite. Now I ask you, would a homosexual draw breasts like that?
Well, my name's Matt. I'm a new student here at SCAD. I'm really excited for my film course. I get to actually make movies. Wow.
As am I.
Can we do a short film later that you direct where I step in some dog shit accidentally in a backyard while you play a vampire or something?
Well, I wouldn't do this for just anyone, but I can see that you have a kind soul, so yes.
End a scene.
yeah. Oh, that was a fun movie.
God, that's more or less how it went.
So should we explain that movie?
Yeah, we worked in a lot of each other's short films in the Intro to Video class, and I believe the video cameras we had recorded on...
Was it mini DVD or something?
Was it mini... Not VD.
TV. Mini DV.
Mini DV, or was it beta to DV? No, I think it was mini DV. They're kind of clunky. I mean,
that was the thing that drove me absolutely crazy about all of the film classes. There was no standard format we used for anything.
Well, and that was the frustrating thing when we went to college, Thrasher, is it was right on the cusp of the transition from, you know, from film to digital. You didn't quite have smartphones. You didn't have, you know, you couldn't do a high quality 720p or 1080p film right off your cell phone, right?
Yeah.
And you still had to record on tape. There's still physical media. The loading speeds.
iMovie wasn't standard.
iMovie wasn't standard. The loading speeds were horrendous. Was a real Hobson's choice, no matter what you're working with.
We were using technology that was being replaced as we were using it.
Yes, and you might say, well, that's the case no matter what. And technology does march on, but it was especially true when we went. It was from analog to digital, which is a very herky-jerky situation at best.
But we did one of the films we did, and this might have been my final for that class actually, was a vampire movie called Pizza the Delivering.
It was your final, yes.
About a pizza delivery boy being stalked by a vampire, and then in the end fighting the vampire and winning. I had written elaborate backstories for all of the characters, none of which you actually saw on screen.
And what did I operate the boom mic? I had a cameo part acting.
No, you were the cameraman, I think, really? For most of it.
How shitty was my camera operating?
No, actually pretty
decent.
I think
it was okay.
You were doing the camera, but then at the end, after there's a credits, there's at the end, there's credits,
yeah.
But then after the credits, there's a little stinger where we show a door and a doorbell rings. We open it and you're on the other side of the door as another pizza delivery boy, but you're like eating Ho-Ho's candies and the vampire's hand comes out and grabs you and pulls you in.
Right. It was the stinger at the end.
Yeah. And it was just like the best take. I was like, would you like a ho-ho? It's chocolatey delicious.
I think I spit part of the ho-ho out of my mouth midline.
You might have. It was hilarious. And the thing is, we'd recorded just about everything, and we had done little things to make sure the shots looked right. We had sort of pre-recorded some stuff. And so for my final, I did the short film. But then I also cut together a trailer for the short film, and then I cut together a blooper reel, which was almost as long as the film itself, and ended up turning all of that in. And I got a special commendation from Gokhan, who used me as an example to show how much you can get out of a little bit of footage.
I do recall that. I mean, one thing that art school does, which is useful, I guess, but it's very embarrassing at the time, is screening your films or showing your paintings or showing your work in front of a group.
That was always the best/worst part of the course.
Yeah, and the reaction I always got with my work, whether it was a painting or a film or a video game, is either people really didn't get it and are like, what the hell is this shit? Or they really loved it. And if you're listening to this episode of Sequel Cast Special, I think you're thinking, what the hell is this shit? No. But, so, I mean, my student film, you helped on, Thrasher.
Oh, yeah.
It was a weird one. I decided to do a genre I hated, romantic comedy, and I decided to direct it in the style of Woody Allen and read a Woody Allen biography and a book full of Woody Allen interviews. And
you started dating your Asian stepdaughter?
Right. And then I dumped her for a plate of Sunni pork. No. I think the name of the script is called, like, The Right Guy, maybe?
Or like, Seeking Mr. Right or The Perfect One. It was something like
that. It might have been The Perfect Guy or The Perfect Man. And I originally wrote it with the man in the lead, and then the professor convinced me to flip it, which I think was a pretty good idea. And your friend Adriana played the lead.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't know what she was in for. I think she still doesn't, regarding that film, at least. And she played a girl that has not sexual encounters, but kind of, you know, has initial first flirtings with three different men. And she comes to the conclusion, oh, they're all crap. And she walks off by herself. And I made a classic blunder. I shot in front of a fountain on the school campus. Looked gorgeous, and even though we had a sound guy and everything, I didn't think of the noise of the fountain that would pick up on the audio track. because of this, all the dialogue you could hear, all you could hear, well, it sounded like a tinkling water in a bathroom. Like, so I didn't want to refilm it. That was a real pain in the butt. And the professor suggested, why don't you dub it in French? And I'm like, well, I don't know French, but I know Spanish. So I redubbed the entire thing myself in Spanish and layered in subtitles. It was a tremendous learning tool as far as learning to use the Avid software.
And didn't you, like, you like sepia toned it, made it look like aged film?
I sepia toned it, added grain to it. Yeah. And I, at the end, for no good reason, as the end credits music, I used a, I think it was an opening credits theme from the anime series X about, like, high school, super-powered high school kids.
I think you're right.
With
it
English?
Was like Guantanamo, like, during the movie, but then, like, it became this metal thing during the credits.
It was very schizophrenic and weird and raw. And everyone, to a note, hated it, except the professor thought it was quite interesting. People often say interesting when they mean shit, but maybe he really liked it. I don't know.
that was great, frankly.
Yeah, I had fun making it, but I didn't take a film class after that one, and I'm not sure if it's because of... I don't know. I just... We ran into so many people around the town of Savannah, Georgia, where we went to college, that were pizza delivery men or taxi cab drivers. They're like, yes, I went through Savannah College of Design. No, I drive taxi. Or, oh, I'm the secretary at the library. I have a master's in painting or Fliberty Floop. And I just got, you know, I came out of, I'm the opposite of you. You said you came out of high school really discouraged.
Well, I came, I high school was just a terrible environment for me.
See, I thought high school for me was a great environment. I loved doing theater, loved doing drama club, acting, co-directing student plays and all this stuff. And I came out of high school ready to conquer the world. I came out of college like a bitter, broken, defeated lump of a man.
I guess for me it was the opposite.
Yeah, so... I don't think it helped that graduating college, I applied for a bunch of jobs in the arts, didn't get anything, and had to do retail for a year living at home.
Oh, God, yeah. That's a terrible position to be in.
You had some of that, too, though, didn't you? Maybe not living home, but yeah. So those were the bad times. Okay, so, I mean, why don't we... So we've talked a bit about art or history, going to school, learning about film criticism, that sort of thing. Did you work on the student newspaper, the SCAD district, or was it just in the radio station?
Oh, no. I did.
The cartoon.
The guy who was the comics editor for the district was going to be leaving. And the thing is, I had decided after my first year that I really didn't like going home after, you know, after a year of college and just like doing nothing. I really wanted to keep learning. And so that was originally how I was going to do my film minor and still graduate in 4 years. I was going to take summer classes and still be able to graduate on time. So after that first summer, I always stayed at SCAD over the summer to do extra classes. And that summer, just because I was always involved with Student Activities Council, and it just, you know, because I was involved with the gaming club and I forget exactly how I found out about this, but the person who was the comics editor for District, the student newspaper, was graduating and leaving. They always do like 3 special issues over the summer quarter, since there's less students in there. And so I said, well, I know comics. I'll be here over the summer. I'll do the job. And if I like it, I'll do it, I'll do it all through next year. And so I became then the comics editor, which I remained up until I graduated, and just got progressively more and more involved with student media, eventually getting a job as a radio DJ at the student station.
Yeah. So for me, with as far as extracurricular activities, at Georgia State University, their student paper was The Signal, and I did some film reviews and interviewed people like Kevin Smith, and got to go to press screenings, and there was a lot more of that kind of stuff in Atlanta than Savannah, Georgia, because Atlanta, Georgia is the capital of the state, and it's one of the top 10 biggest cities in the United States, I believe. Isn't that right? At least as far as population, I think.
I have never looked at the numbers, unfortunately. I can't say.
Okay, let's just say it is. It's certainly one of the top, like, TV markets. So that being said, when I transferred to SCAD, I started work at the SCAD district and was always drawn to the idea of radio. As a kid, I had a boombox with two audio cassettes, and you could record a microphone on there and dub music from one cassette to another.
I actually had that. I made mixtapes.
Oh, okay,
and
me
I
too,
also
yeah.
made mixtapes of television shows.
Oh, wow. My uncle showed me how to do that. But neat. So when you did mixtapes of TV shows, would you plug the audio out from the VCR into the boombox, or just
no,
record
no,
the
I would,
microphone?
I would, record it. I would record the audio from the broadcast. The one that I had actually had a tuner where you could tune in to TV, but you would only get the audio. And so I'd pull it
wow.
off of that, but
okay.
I'd also edit out the commercials. Sometimes I would dub in my own commercials.
It should be said, as far as like editing goes, I did take a bunch of a class in high school called Mass Media doing video editing, which back in the day, it was real old school. It was a videotape to videotape film decks. These very clunky things where we had to manually like roll to one area, do mark in, mark out, mark in on the output, and then hit transfer, and then wait for the videotape to rewind and dump the clip at shitty quality and ad nauseum. It was not terribly efficient, but wasn't even state-of-the-art at the time, really. But it was still being used and stuff. So, yeah, I was always drawn to the radio station, and I waited my, I think, part of my junior year to do it at SCAD. I wish I would have done it from the beginning. My big regret of college is I wish after my sophomore, or my second year at SCAD, I wish I would have moved in with you and Jason.
That, I think we together would have made some fantastic roommates.
I think so. And the only reason I didn't is a stupid offhand comment my dad made. Is he's like, well, what if you're in this house with your friends and someone breaks in and steals your DVDs?
That's, that could happen anywhere.
Yes, but that stupid comment worked me in a tizzy because I have a fear of being broken, having my house broken into and being murdered. Mm. Or at the time was really, I mean, I'm still into possession. Sure, I got collections, but not as much as I used to. I used to have a lot more shit than I do now. So, but I think we would have had some grand old times.
Oh, what could have been, and what might yet be.
So at SCAD Radio, you had to do kind of the standard computer-generated, you know, music shit for a term.
I don't know. What exactly do you mean by that?
Didn't they make you do at least one quarter of manning the radio station where it's computer-generated music from a playlist?
Well, before you could, they would let you do all the awesome stuff with their setup. You had to put a certain number of hours in as just a standard DJ.
That's what I mean. Yes.
And well, yeah, there was a we had a playlist of MP3s that was randomized to cycle through this catalog of music, but it was pretty good alternative stuff, some modern and classic rock mixed in. It was a really decent variety. The student radio station did and still does play a lot of interesting music. The thing is that maybe they didn't teach you how to do this, but they showed me how to put my own stuff in there.
They showed me how to do it, but they said you were limited to how much of your own stuff you could put in.
They told me that too, but no one ever caught me when I violated those guidelines.
Man, if I only had a brain. If you want to hear us cover Wizard of Oz at SequelCast, go to sequelcast.com. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that was a little bit of a slog, but still enjoyable. But when I got a chance to pitch my own show and they accepted the pitch, I was excited, amazed. Did you have an original show before me, or was it at the same time?
I had planned one, but I didn't do it because we collaborated on our own show.
Okay. It should be noted that SCAD Radio at the time broadcast on a very small bandwidth AM station.
Yes.
And it was online, too.
We were part of this Student Broadcasters Association, which is a prestigious group to be a part of.
Yes.
But one of the requirements is you actually had to broadcast over public airwaves. An internet radio station, which is what the school was set up for, didn't count. So in order to meet the requirement of actually broadcasting over the public airwaves, two transmitters were planted on the campus to broadcast the student radio station over an FM channel, one over Oglethorpe House and one over the Weston Dyson cafeteria.
So just the dorms, really. Not even all the dorms.
Now, these transmitters only had a broadcast range of about 20 feet, 30 feet on a cold night. So no one ever tuned into it to listen. And this is a real shame because the Savannah College of Art and Design does own a massive FM transmitter, but it's not used by student media. It's rented out to a gospel station that's piped in by satellite.
If there's one, and also, I mean, the Savannah College of Art and Design, SCAD, as we've mentioned throughout this show, it's a private school. It's very expensive. They have a lot of money coming in from students alone, right?
From students, from donors, loans, from donations, from for-profit businesses that the nonprofit owns, that also owns the school. There's a complicated network of ownership that involves for-profit, not-for-profit, charities, and all these other things. I'm not saying that money laundering is going on. I'm saying that if it turns out money laundering is going on, I'm not going to be surprised.
I'm not either. There's a lot of allegedly shady things with the head of the school. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
To be vague. That being said, all that SCAD stuff, when I got to do my show, I was really into video game music remixes. So my show was called Do the Mario, which did a weekly show doing video game music. And I'd have friends on as guests. You were on a few times, I think, Thrasher.
Indeed.
And your show, was it just the comedy show is what you ended up doing? Or
It was a radio comedy show called the original title, and I'd always wanted you to be my co-host, but the original title was going to be The Alcoholic Party Clowns, and we were going to be
times,
The Alcoholic Party Clowns. But sadly, the director of student media, that title made him very, very nervous. So I decided, well, if we're not going to use that, I'm going to come up with a worse title that makes me laugh harder. So I came up with Jester Sexplosion.
I thought I was the co-host in all the episodes. Is that not the case?
Oh, no, you were.
All two or three episodes?
I think there were three, and I've still got somewhere. We recorded them on a Sony audio format that doesn't exist anymore. But I've still got the discs.
Cool.
Those, like, micro discs or whatever the hell they were called.
Mini disc.
Yeah, but I mean, what we would do is we would play song parodies. We would play clips from classic stand up albums and from like comedy sketch albums. But then between the stuff we would play, Matt and I would do these weird improv comedy routines.
There's also a lost comedy album we recorded that never got released, never got broadcast. That I lost the original CD for. I think your CD cracked, Thrasher.
Yes, it did.
I lost it between computers, but there's a bit which let's recreate part of it now that I really enjoyed, where old William Shatner met with young William Shatner.
Which William Shatner was I? Was I young or old? I think I was young.
Yeah, I think I was old. So there's a time warp. Oh, go on.
Oh, yeah, I'm just trying to remember when and what young William Shatner I am. Is this the
from Star Trek original series?
Yes.
And I'm the newer one. So, boodaloop, 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 time machine. And modern-day William Shatner has an encounter with his younger self through teleportation or some shit.
Hey, how'd you get into my dressing room?
Oh my God, you look beautiful. Wait, you're me, but younger?
You don't mean to tell me that I'm going to look like that in a few years.
Look like that? What are you talking about? I look marvelous.
Well, I mean, just, you know, look in the mirror. There's enough of you for two of me.
There might be enough of me for two of you, but is two of you enough as one of me?
I'm not sure the world could handle the raw sensuality of more than one Shatner.
I'm William Shatner, damn it. I've come out with three or four albums by now. You, have you even come out with one?
I'm working on The Transformed Man, but I'm glad to know I have a thriving recording career in the future.
Not just a recording career, I make short films with a company called Priceline. Some might call them commercials, but nay.
Art is art.
George,
so
Takei,
why are you here? Are you here to revisit your golden yesteryears?
The best way to revisit my golden yesteryears is to take off your pants. I mean, my pants. What are we doing here? Oh, my.
Zip. Now, if Ellison were here, I bet he would have something to say about this.
It's getting a bit drafty down in the engines, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't. I haven't read the script. I usually don't. I think the show works out much better when people act around me.
Older Shatner and younger Shatner remove their pants. Oh my, you're wearing polka dots. Who would wear polka dots on their briefs?
Well, apparently you. But I can see at least one thing doesn't change in the preceding, or in the passing 100 years between now and whatever time you're from.
Hey there, I'm only 50 years older than you are. It might be hard to see, it might even be a bit stiff, but I think we've got this cocked and ready to go. Oh my, it was fun. Billy, what are you doing?
Well, you can't honestly get me to believe that the only reason you've traveled back in time is so that we can live out our ultimate fantasy of making love to ourselves.
William Shakespeare said, love thyself. That's what he said when I performed Macbeth in Summerstock Theater in Toronto in 1949.
Hey, I remember that.
Of course you would, but I remember it less. I still have pubic hairs in my teeth from that performance.
Funny, because I don't.
You will. As pelvises get thrusted in areas unimaginable, the Shatners start making noises.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
Oh, my. I really am a mouthful.
Beep, beep, boop.
Good to the last Shatner drop. Suddenly, from the closet, hello. Oh my, I'm George Takei. May I join in, gentlemen?
I think I spotted a continuity error.
End scene.
Well, I spotted two continuity errors. First, when we originally recorded the original version of that sketch, George Takei hadn't come out of the closet.
Correct.
Two, the original version of that sketch was Shatner from the future advising Shatner from the past how to cover up a murder.
Well, you know, time changes. I think the punchline was still the same. They ended up blowing each other.
Yeah, I know. No, at the end, yeah, young Shatner decided to have sex with old Shatner because Shatner was Shatner's idea of perfection. But that was the punchline. It wasn't the opener.
Well, that recreation was a model of
facsimile. It's best that comedy album was destroyed.
Perhaps. There's an alternate dimension where it still exists.
No, maybe we'll tap into that. But Jester Sexplosion, we had some fun bits. We did several inside the actor's studio bits where it was James Lipton interviewing video game characters,
such as Mario. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, Mario was one. Didn't we do one with Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah, we did a Sonic the Hedgehog. Did a few of those, but no, that was a lot of fun. And so you might be wondering, how does this radio stuff lead to the sequel cast? I think we can wrap that up in 8 minutes.
Okay.
So after college, I never thought you'd ask, Thrasher. After college, I was depressed and working retail jobs and so forth, living at home with my mom. My mother's house, I guess I should say. And with all that, I decided to learn about something called podcasting, which in 2005 was really brand new.
Although I'm happy to say I was on the cusp of that. I was a regular listener to Yog Radio, and that was one of the first gaming podcasts.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought I had so much fun doing a college show about video game music. Let's do a podcast on video game music. And my show, the Super Koopa Troopa Show, was, if not the first, one of the first video game music podcasts. I know the website Overclocked Remix had a podcast as well around that same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I gained a bit of a following from that, and after a certain point I stopped it because I just got burned out. I had spent like 2 full years doing a video game music podcast. I wasn't playing the new video games as much. I just didn't have anything left to say, I thought. So I dabbled in a few film podcasts that only did an episode or two and then kind of squandered because I did it by myself. And I realized, if I'm going to do a podcast, I need to do it right. I need to do it with my friends, you know, Will Thrasher and Jersey Jason from college. And I did a lot of thinking of what to do for a show, and I came up with SequelCast. And then I looked online and found there was already a show with that same concept before I recorded an episode.
Really?
Yeah, do you know about this?
No, this is new to me.
Oh, I thought I mentioned this in other... And the show's still around. It's really great. I talk to the one of the hosts, Arnie, sometimes. But there's a podcast called Now Playing, which looks at movie franchises one film at a time, but they usually tie into current theatrical releases. And they cover, they spent like half a year covering films based off Marvel movies leading up to the Avengers. You're looking it up right now, Thrasher?
Yes, I am.
Are you going to punch me in the mouth for doing SequelCast after realizing this other podcast existed?
No, because we do it better. We do it classic.
I'm not sure if I'd say we do it better. We're different. And I expressed some, you know, nervousness about there's so many other film review podcasts. How are we different? And you gave a good answer early on, Thrash. You said, well, we're us. They're not us. And that's right. I mean, everyone has a different... Opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one. And, you know, from the beginning in 2009, where, you know, the very first films we did was Beverly Hills Cop. I don't think you came on until, like, episode 7 or so doing Caddyshack, right?
I want to say my first episode, Bandits? I think, was episode 5.
Smokey and the Bandit 2, okay.
Yeah, Smokey and the Bandit 2.
So with all that, we did the, you know, sequel cast Guru and Guru and Rue become more popular each year. And that's how the show... That's how this show started, really. That's sort of in-depth story of sequel cast origins. Did I miss anything on your end? I know I've been monologuing quite a lot.
I don't think so. Just that, you know, I was always supposed to be on the show, but like the reason it took a few episodes for me to actually get on was just that I had a terrible job with a terrible work schedule, and our schedules never lined up for the recordings.
West and East Coast is challenging to line up. Do you have any questions for me then, closing this out?
Well, excuse me. Well, I mean, are you still enjoying the sequel cast? Are you? I mean, because I even before I was on the show, I downloaded it every week and listened to it, and I still do. It's kind of a tradition with me. The day before we record a new episode, I will listen to the most recent recording, just because I like to be acutely aware of how the show has progressed, and I always want to make sure that I can do my best on it.
Yes, I do. Do you still enjoy it?
No, I do.
I mean, there was a moment of sequel cast burnout after the first, Indiana Jones episodes.
I will confess, I had that moment during Planet of the Apes.
Because it's so many episodes in the same franchise?
It just took forever.
Yeah, that it really did. And that was before I'd put the episodes up, you know, relatively shortly after they're recorded. You know, I'd be lazy and wait like months before printing up a new show in the early days. Yeah, I mean, with all that, with Indiana Jones, it was at a point I was sort of struggling with my day job. I had been fired. Even though I graduated with the art degree, couldn't really get a job in the arts doing that. Was in a shitty day job. Went to a night school paralegal program for 2 years, got my first job in a law firm, and got fired from it after 8 months, despite busting my ass. And was unemployed for 4 months and still kept on recording the sequel cast, which on the one hand was useful. On the other hand, I just was getting in the same state of mind, I guess, when I was out of college. Just really frustrated and felt like it was a dead end and all this stuff. But I'm glad I have stuck with the sequel cast. I think it's grown stronger. I think adding more segments to the show, like what you're watching and doing the different shows like sequel commentary and video game sequel cast.
It is so nice to have that kind of format.
And it's this variety too. You're not only talking about movies. You're talking about video game and movies. Two things.
The other thing that's nice about that is if we don't have much to say about a movie, then we'll just put extra time into the other segments. And if we have a lot to say about the movie,
yes,
we can shorten the segments.
what I think we can close out, and I believe I mentioned this on a sequel cast special before. I'm working on a sequel cast Pete's merchandise, an actual product you can buy, called Sequel Cast Year One. I hope to have it out either fall or winter of 2013. And it's going to be a doozy. Are you excited for this product, Thrasher?
I am. Indeed, I am.
So
I've actually got to start getting my recordings together for it. Oh, are we not supposed to divulge details yet?
What do you mean recording? Oh, videos, you mean?
Yeah.
No. Let's spill the beans, more details here about it. So, Sequel Cast Year One. First of all, you know, the show started in 2009 in October is when the first episode was released. So it's not literally just like five episodes. It's going to be 2009 to 2010. It is going to have not just the episodes as you can get them from the iTunes feed now, but I'm going to go through and remaster each episode. A, so the volume levels are up, and B, so there's less awkward pauses in the conversations. Sort of do special editions, as it were. I'm going to cut silences out, if anything, right?
But it makes that will be a welcome change.
Makes for a better listening experience, because those are recorded. We're not going to re-record those episodes, but I mean, they're recorded. Oh my God.
Well, that might make a fun bonus to re-review the very first movie with the current hosts.
What if we did a commentary on the very first Sequel Cast episode?
I would totally go for that.
That could be something for the Sequel Cast Year One disc as a bonus. But, so it's going to have normal and special editions of the 2009 to 2010 episodes of the Sequel Cast. Not only that, it's going to have an ebook. I don't mean a full-length book, but it's going to have like an original essay by me, by Jason, and by Thrasher. Just about, you know, something Sequel Cast related, either what Sequel Cast means to us or a favorite, maybe us talking about a favorite episode of ours from that first year. I haven't really figured out quite how to do it, but that's going to be on there as a PDF you can read on your computer. It's going to have, I was thinking about having you illustrate a cover, but I'm thinking of doing a cover that's a photograph of a banana sticking out of my car's tailpipe.
What does that have to do with Sequel Cast Year One?
Well, Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh,
the banana
okay.
And the tailpipe. It's going to be black and white, and the banana is going to be yellow.
I can kind of see the connection there.
It's going to be an artsy photograph cover. Maybe it'll be a reversible cover. I don't know. How about that?
Ooh, yeah.
Where reversible doubles is your illustration, and then the one's the photograph. It's going to be on a DVD-R, so you'll have to look at it on your computer, or maybe you can look at it on the PlayStation. I'm not really sure about that, or Xbox. But they'll be in high-quality audio formats, because it's a DVD. It's going to have maybe like one or two short video features, right?
Mm-hmm. Reminiscences.
Reminiscences. About it, maybe also showing like what our respective recording segment setups look like now inside the studio. And anything else is going to be in there? I think that's it. But I think it's going to be a decent-sized package. Sequel Cast Year One. The price is going to be $10, and shipping, I think, is going to be like $5 within the continental U.S. and $10 international.
That seems kind of steep for media mail.
For shipping? Well, you want to, I don't know, media mail internationally still is kind of pricey.
Well, I'm talking about within the United States. That sounds really steep.
$5 for shipping? I think that's fair. You want to recoup the time I spend waiting in line to do something media mail. You get a physical package. You get Sequel Cast business cards are going to be in there. But do you think it should be free shipping domestic? Because I'd be losing money on that.
No, I'm just saying that's... I would double check exactly how much it would cost to ship them, just because $5 seems high for a DVD.
I'm going to look this up as talk about something, Thrasher.
Well, I one feature I think we should have is all the different versions of the sequel cast theme song. The original improvised version, the my a cappella version, the Mark with the C version, just like all of the different theme songs. So people can just listen to those.
So have it set up as like an album under, you can listen under iTunes or something called Sequel Cast the Album.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be the theme song variations.
And who knows, maybe we can do that Lethal Weapon 3 romantic theme song.
You mean Lethal Weapon 1 or?
No, remember, like, we, I started making up a song, because there was that romantic song in the first Lethal Weapon that I felt there should be a version in all of them. So for number 3, the song was going to be, a lethal weapon, you, lethal weapon,
right.
Me, lethal weapon, us, lethal weapon 3. And I'd somehow write a whole song for that.
I mean, so I just did some calculations.
Yeah.
So, guessing on what the thing's going to weigh, let's say 1 pound, in the continental United States, shipping, this is fascinating, SequelCast listeners, I'm sure, shipping from the West Coast to the East Coast, media mail, which takes a few weeks to mail, is, as of this recording, about $2.50.
Okay.
So I'll make a 50% margin off of $5. Maybe I'll say it's $3 for domestic shipping. This is all tentative. Nothing's in stone. And Thrasher, it's getting very late for you. I haven't had dinner yet. I haven't had a meal in 8 hours. So we got to go to bed, eat dinner, what have you. Any last thoughts about this SequelCast host origins, SequelCast special show?
No, just that I'm looking forward to the next round of episodes, and I'm hoping Harry Potter doesn't thoroughly burn us out. It's getting harder and harder to get through those movies.
Yeah. And if you listen to any of the SequelCast shows, check them all out at sequelcast.com. If you like Harry Potter, I am going to be hosting a live episode of SequelCast Special with special guest Eric Windsor and Tony Mincent at LeakyCon in Portland, Oregon, the end of June. Specifically, it's going to be June 29th. It's a Saturday, 2013, at 4 p.m. More details to come. Can you believe that convention is a little bit over 3 weeks and there's no official schedule yet?
That's bizarre. Usually, like, schedule details start emerging by then.
Right. I think it's just because they're overseas dealing with the international convention for them. So you can follow me on Twitter at SequelCast.
And you can follow me at Internet Mayor.
For the SequelCast, this is Matt.
SequelCast and this is Special. Thrasher.
For the SequelCast Special, this is Matt.
And Thrasher.
Saying, you know, in my origin, I was hit by a truck full of radioactive gobbledygook and turned into a jello pudding cup.
Well, I was bitten by a radioactive film critic.
SequelCast Special is a Hipster Goblin production.